Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 83. Green and yellow, green and yellow. Go Packers.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bass Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
I'm Blue Onyx.
I'm Anvil.
Yes. Mr. Hoodie.
Don't worry, this is the Grim Reaper.
Yep. Anyway.
I'll come for you someday.
Anyways, this past Sunday, I wrote a review about this, but I saw this, the one-man show about Buckminster Fuller, and he had a really good point in regards to how a triangle is much stronger structure than a square.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yes. Because as anyone can ever notice, when you do like a triangle like this, if you try to push it together, it just stays intact. Yeah. Meanwhile, if you do something like a square, it can actually, you know, move around like this, make it a little bit wobbly.
Yeah, of course.
So what I wonder is, if someone were to build like a house out of triangular, like a triangular structure, would it be earthquake proof?
No. Earthquakes underneath it, which would cause the structure to slide apart.
Slides apart. I mean, that would be like trying to put like triangular bricks and, you know, mortar them together and then have them piled up and whatnot and seeing if that works.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to do.
Because
you can't pay a simpleton to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to put triangles like this and put it on in it. No.
I mean, after all, after seeing those videos of those brick buildings.
Yeah, going and crashing down.
Yeah, because of all the snow. Just imagine what it'd be like if it was the triangles and they weren't, you know, put it in there properly. Whoop, it just slides off.
Well, maybe they should just make a triangular roof and so it all just, the snow would just slide off instead of, you know, create a structure issue.
Yeah, and that wouldn't be bad. I mean, I know it has like a triangular structure on the top, but perhaps if there was a way to make it more of like a 360 sort of
steeper incline.
Yeah, steeper incline.
But all I can say is it sucks for whoever's going to put that roof up.
Yeah.
With my hammer on the top.
Yeah.
Shit.
Grim Reaper strikes again.
So we go on to music?
Yeah, let's go on to music. Go on to cake.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll talk about cake, but then there's a couple cake news things that I wanted to discuss as well, too.
I want to talk about cake.
So, cake. Their first new album in 7 years, yes. Showroom of Compassion.
It's been a while since, I mean, what was it? The last album was Come For You, wasn't it?
No, there was one more
before that. I thought there was just Comfort Eagle, because I remember that back in, like, high school.
Because Comfort Eagle is their most known one, and that was their, like, fourth album. And their first, because they came out with Pressure Chief in 2004.
Oh, right, that was the last one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yes, and there was a B-side and Rarities Collection, but that doesn't really count.
Yeah, that's the whole fact that if you take all your songs that you've already produced and everything like that, and yes, they're hits, and you just go and throw it on an album and be like, greatest hits album, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Just does not count in my book.
Unless, of course, it's like one, if it's a two CD thing, first CD is greatest hits, second one is like all brand new material. Kind of like what Michael Jackson did with History. Hey, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just making a bold point.
No.
Okay. So, Let me think. These are some interesting fucking names for these songs.
I didn't. You know, Sick of You has been playing on the radio
a lot. Yeah, that has been kind of been playing a lot, but I'm not sure if I'm so much of a fan of it. I mean,
I'm so sick of you, so sick of me.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's one of those, you know, volatile relationship type songs and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, but sometimes it feels like he doesn't put, like, enough
emphasis,
emotion, or anything like that into the actual music. It just seems kind of iffy.
Well, he does that sort of sing talk thing, like what Beck does from time to time.
Yeah, once in a while.
Yeah. But I like Sick of You. I love Mustache Man. That was a pretty fun song. And Got to Move. Although, I felt like I was a little bit turned off by the first song on the album, Federal Funding.
Yeah.
And usually I hate it when when an album starts out on a bad note, because usually that tells me that the rest of the album is not going to be that great. And sometimes it's right. Like, look at what happened with the Stone Temple Pilots album. The first song in there sucked, and the rest of the album also sucked.
It was just, I don't know, it just was garbage.
Yep.
I was so disappointed. Maybe they should go back on drugs and they might produce
better
music.
Yeah, Scott Whelan, please go back on heroin and make better
music. Just don't get caught so many times, all right? Jesus. Every fucking time, what was it? One month it was just like, oh yeah, he got caught again. I was like, dude, whoops, what the hell? And then, like, 3 months down the road, he was able to get out and then got caught again. And I was like, dude, seriously, will you stop it?
I mean, it's not. He needs to take pointers from Willie Nelson.
Yeah, basically.
Either that or just stick with smoking pot.
Yeah.
What the hell am I listening to?
We're basically telling how some people sound better on drugs than they do sober. It happens.
Yeah, I think they're people like that have their inspirations through drugs and everything and whatnot, and that's the biggest setup that they need to take a look at. And it makes their creativity go out the roof.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I never knew how to write a song properly when I was sober.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Ugh, there we go.
It's just, I don't know. I firmly believe that if songwriters really want to write songs, they should learn to write songs first sober before they dabble in the drugs.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if they start writing good songs while they're drugs, and then they go, you know what, I'm going to be clean, they write
or on the levels or whatever, it goes out the window.
And they just write utter shit, people are going to realize they're not as good as they were when they were high.
All right, now, what did you think about Teenage Pregnancy?
That was a weird instrumental.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. I'll be very, very, very honest with you. It's not like their usual stuff, and it was kind of dreary.
Yeah.
And Cake isn't good when they're dreary.
See, now, that was the thing. What was it? 2008, I believe it was, or 2009. Somewhere around there is when I was, saw them at a free show at the Hatch Shell.
Yeah.
Over at, you know, in Boston. And by the end of the show, they were like, oh yeah, now we're done, you know, with our touring right now, and we're going to go back into the, you know, into the recording studio, except it was going to be recorded all in, you know,
solar energy,
and I was like, why don't you just put a wind power turbine on there while you're at it, just to get some, you know, wind energy, so, you know, but, I mean, the whole concept that, yes, you're trying to do, you know, good with that, with, like, recyclable energy and whatnot and stuff.
So that's why it took 7 years.
Well, not really. They took 2 years to do this album, but for the most part, it feels that this album has 11 songs on it.
And it's only 40 minutes.
It's only 40 minutes. Doesn't really reach up to the usual par of, like, what people are producing now. I mean, I'm saying, like, do a Tool song, like, 10 minutes long every fucking album. But, you know,
but we are saying that, because those are some very fucking epic songs.
Yeah, well, those are epic songs because that's Tool. Cake is on a different plane by itself, but I like how they put their music and stuff, but this album just might not be the one that really is, like, going to be, people are going to be running to their, you know, local, you know, CD store and just going, oh, gimme!
Run, don't walk to the record store! Gimme, 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 gimme!
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. What do you give for a grade for this album?
Nah, just for the benefit of a doubt, I'll give it a 3.8 out of 5.
Mm.
But I feel like they need to step up their game and, you know, get the thing. I mean, I think they're going to be, like, if they go into concert, they're not going to be playing any songs from this album. They're going to be playing it more from, like, Comfort Eagle, like they usually do, and a couple of the old songs, like, you know, Going the Distance. And
right.
Unless they want to retire that song, like, you know, how Mudvayne did to Dig or something. So,
yeah.
It depends on that kind of setup.
Well, that'd be really hard, considering that those are, like, their best songs.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, I give it a 4.
No, you don't.
Just from what I know. Hey, I could be, you know, one of those people that listen and understand.
Yeah.
Really?
I listened to you too, and now I understand. I give it a 4.
Well, no, because that's bad opinion making. You need to make your own personal opinion after you listen to it.
Well, I listened to you guys, took your opinions, and used my mind. So shut the fuck up. I mean,
that's very unfair to the performers.
What are you, the music Nazi? Are you the music Nazi?
I'm the music aficionado.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
You can be when you can actually say it straight.
A music aficionado.
It's aficionado. There's no X.
Aficionado. What the?
That means that you want to make love to the music.
Yeah, exactly.
That's strange. We want to shove it in the G clef?
Jesus. Yes, the G clef.
G clef rocks the G clef.
Maybe he wants the Y clef.
Oh, Sean.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now stop. Stop getting mad at me and just do your throat.
Okay.
I have a right to my own opinion, and my opinion is awesome.
Alrighty then. Anyways.
Wow. What the fuck just happened there?
You just admitted.
You were going to give your account of what
you said.
This,
you want to make sweet, sweet love to music.
Forget that. What were you going to rate this album?
I think I'll agree with you, Blonick, and give it a 3.8 out of 5.
Alrighty then.
My 4 is better.
Now, okay, some music news. Some really, really sad news.
The duck is pregnant.
What?
The duck's pregnant.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, I'm not a dad.
The White Stripes have broken up.
Why am I not surprised?
Why is that bad news? We've been expecting that for a while.
Well, I mean, I think they... just because I watched one of the their films that recently and stuff like that, where were traveling or something. Canada. Something like Canada.
And she had the anxiety problems at the end.
Yeah, like, it felt like they have kind of, like, this kind of love-hate relationship with each other. Like, they're always seen with one another, but probably when they're together, they're apart, like, they're miles apart because of the fact that they're so close together. And I feel that they should have probably taken a couple more breaks instead of just keep on touring and stuff like that, because it just, with me, yes, their music is fucking good.
Yes.
It's really good. I mean, very, very freaking awesome and brilliant and everything like
Jack
that.
Jack White, one of the greatest guitarists.
If you're on stage and it sounds like a fucking train wreck because they're probably so goddamn tired, then you gotta take a freaking break. And that's what I, when I was listening to the music, when they were actually playing it, it just didn't sound like how he wanted to have it produced in the recording studio.
Right.
And it just, I know there's two people to the band, but it's ridiculous. It's not how they should be playing.
And but it's hard because Jack White is such a workaholic. When he's not recording his own stuff, he's then producing other people's albums, and then when he's not doing that, he's recording his own solo stuff, and when he's not doing that, he's dabbling in other shit. This man's like a robot when it comes to this workaholic stuff.
So what he needs to do? It's called take a nap.
Or Ritalin. It's just
that, or whiskey.
Yeah, that too.
Whiskey could help.
Great. Now we're providing alcoholism besides drugs.
Hey, listen, I'm Irish. It's part of, you know, my culture. I believe it's on our flag.
Yeah, I think more or less what Jack, is it Jack White?
Yeah, Jack White.
Jack White needs to just sit back and, you know, take life in for a little bit, and then come back and just fucking rock out like he usually does.
Right, and even if it's not with the White Stripes, like, I love the Raconteurs. I thought that's a great quartet right there. You got him, you got Brendan Benson, you got members of the Longhorns. The Dead Weather, on the other hand, they're kind of iffy.
Yeah, they're not that great.
Like I like the members of the band. I like Alison Mosshart. I especially love her work in The Kills. Dana Freda, I believe his name is. He's the guitarist from Queens of the Stone Age.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Jack Lawrence from the Longhorns in that as well. Like, separately, they're phenomenal. They're phenomenal people. But together, I don't know why. It just doesn't seem to clash well. It doesn't cling together.
Yeah, they just... It's just... Damn, he's just fucking crazy with all his music that he's got.
Yeah, look at this. Now he's working with Danger Mouse on a project called Rome.
Fuck. Yeah, it just seems that, you know, he just needs to sit back and fucking take, you know, a fucking chill pill right now.
Like, sit back, relax, and then start working again.
I mean, the fact that it says right here, you know, drummer Meg White is Jack White's ex-wife.
Right.
So, what it is you two were together, and then you separated.
Yes.
Yet, you're still working with each other. That's just kind of volatile within itself.
It's funny, too, because it was Jack who took Meg's name.
What?
Yeah, it wasn't...
Well, then it goes with the white, with the white stripes.
John Anthony Gills is his real name, not Jack White.
Or Gillis, or whatever it is.
Gillis. Which is a good Irish last name.
Yeah. I remember he was performing with the Raconteurs, and he would actually perform with a kilt on.
Oh, no shit.
Yep. He would show his Irish pride.
Yeah, he's Irish-Canadian, isn't he?
I'm not sure if he's also Canadian.
Yeah. Not a big deal, but...
No,
Scottish-Canadian.
Scottish-Canadian.
And he's from Polish. Detroit, Michigan, where he was...
You know. But he was born in Detroit.
Yeah.
Which is close to Canada.
Oh, yeah. It's a hop, skip, and a jump. That's why we're trying to push the Lions over the border.
Yep.
Actually, I can't even make that joke anymore because they're pretty good. But we'll get to that in sports.
Yep. But while a 1-2-person band falls, another one rises from the ashes. Which is why I'm really excited to be reading that Death From Above 1979 are getting back together.
Really?
I'm not sure if you remember, but they did the theme song to that song, to that TV show Human Giant, that sketch show.
Yeah.
But I played them all the time. Well, not all the time. I played them sometimes when we did the radio show.
Yeah.
And they were great. But it wasn't a guitarist and a drummer. It was a bassist and a drummer. And we managed to make all those noises with a bass guitar and not with a guitar, regular guitar. And it's pretty impressive when you can do something like that. Because they've got, let's see, they have two shows. They are playing Coachella and I forget, like...
Sebastian Grainer.
Yeah.
Sebastian Grainer officially announced that the band is reforming the website. Along with that, they're changing from the previous design based off all the band's artwork. And it's just, wow, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of shit.
Yeah.
There was the other one. To Coachella? No, just because it says Coachella. Oh, wait, and Arts Festival.
Yeah, and Arts Festival. And Sebastian was on the song Twice Born on the fucked up album.
Oh, no shit. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So speaking of fucked up... any concerts coming for them?
I've heard they're talking about doing a concert in Boston in a couple weeks at a college. And in May, they're finally releasing David Comes to Life.
Okay.
Their rock opera that they've been toying with for the past few years. And I read on Twitter that Damien says he hasn't been so stoked for new materials in a while. Like, he is really happy with how this is coming out.
Well, that's good.
So,
you know, can't, you know, wait to see him, you know, again, get in there, you know, hang with Damien and all them again.
Yep, your twin brother.
His little brother.
I gotta make sure I shave my head that night.
Yeah.
No, you know, shave the side of the face.
Fucking hardcore.
Yeah. Maybe we can finally sit down and do an interview with them.
Yeah, no shit. We're supposed to, but they got all fucked up.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
I lost his email, so I tried contacting him through his Facebook, and I don't know how that
doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't. Unless you are, like, Facebook friends with him. Like, that's how I got the interview with the Clicks, because I was Facebook friends with Brian Viglione.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, did you request him as a friend?
Yeah.
Did he accept you?
Yes.
Did he bring you into his circle of trust?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then there you go.
Wait. You mean, did?
No.
That's what I was asking about. I wasn't talking about Brian Viglione.
No, I thought you were talking about
We already know that one.
Okay, but no.
No, hasn't. But I think what it is there's the fucked up one, which is usually controlled by whoever's running their band or whatever. And then there's the, you know, their own individual band members, you know, MySpace and stuff like that you could talk to.
Right.
You know, try to see if we could find them that way. But shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
And things get fucked up.
Yes.
But, yeah, for the most part, anything else for music here?
I'm trying to think. I think that's about it.
Yeah, that's about it. Mm-hmm. All right, on to movies.
Yes, you got a couple movies you want to talk about.
Yeah, I've got, you know, I was kind of able to sit back, well, the past couple days and be able to watch some movies before, you know, going to hell. I mean, work.
Yeah.
Wait, we work at the same place now?
Yeah, basically.
I didn't know that.
Our two companies that we work for that are separate are basically somehow together. You know what? I count yours as the McDonald's of security. Mine's is the Burger King. Because it's that's fucked up.
That's right. It'll kill you.
Yes, it will.
And I've seen it in person.
If they're not shoveling shit down your throat, they're making you fucking walk yourself to death. Yeah. Or run.
Do you know a song I heard playing the other day in the at my job? Somebody had a radio, and I'm sitting there walking around, and all I hear is, I will walk 500. I'm like, I'm going to kill you.
I kill you. You're dead.
It could have been worse. It could have been,
Thanks.
Anyways, two movies. Somehow this popped up on, like, on demand, and I was, like, just looking for something to watch, and it's called What Doesn't Kill You? And this is a Boston-based movie. And, it was actually pretty, good. It actually kind of popped up out of nowhere. I was just like, why is this from 2008? And it just recently popped up on here. And I thought, you know, I would have seen this before or could have caught it in the theaters. Or maybe it wasn't even in the theaters.
Maybe.
It's probably as an independent film. But it says two childhood friends from South Boston turn to crime as a way to get by, ultimately causing a strain in their personal lives and their friendships. Yeah, basically. That's the easiest way to put this movie. You got Mark Ruffalo and Ethan Hawke.
Amanda Peet,
yeah, she did a great acting job in this.
Donnie Wahlberg,
he played the asshole police officer that came in and, you know, kind of broke things up.
Is this the one where he's sitting there and he goes to arrest somebody, he breaks down the song, "Can't touch this is how we..." Sorry.
No.
You're that wrong. Hey. And I'm not going to correct you on that one.
Hey, I've never heard New Kids on the Block, I'm sorry. Unlike other ducks around here.
I had a Jonathan Knight poster on my poster and right. in my bedroom. Whoa. And I am ashamed to admit that. I am ashamed. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I had a Kids on a Block poster in my room.
You're talking to atheists here.
I know. I'm just saying.
Go upstairs and ask your father for forgiveness.
Oh, man.
Go.
Actually, that was the funniest thing last night because I had to deal with the goddamn kids. One just kept asking me questions. He's like, "Do you like such and such?" I'm like, "No." "What? Do you like Christmas?" "No." He's just like, "Why don't you like Christmas?" "Because I'm an atheist." "What's an atheist?" "Why don't you go home and look at a dictionary? Stop asking me questions, asshole."
I celebrate Christmas.
One of the people that was like grown-ups was standing by just fucking howling. They were like, "This is fucking hilarious." Anyways, but yeah, back to the movie. What Doesn't Kill You, yeah, this had a great setup, but it kind of felt like this was the movie, it had kind of like a feeling like The Town. It wasn't like, hey, robbing armored cars the whole fucking way. It was building their way up to the whole concept of trying to rob an armored vehicle. Not saying that they accomplished it, not saying that they, you know, it happened, but it's kind of hard to say because of the way that they at the end and made it either seem that one of them got arrested or actually they actually were able to make it through. It was kind of questionable in that sense. Yet the whole God damn it, what are you doing? What are you
Nothing.
Doing? Over there? You son of a bitch.
That's a Steelers tribute.
Oh Jesus.
Looks like a 1970s album cover.
Can we leave that for sports?
Yes.
But this is the thing that was kind of confusing to me because of the fact that Ethan Hawke's character is named Polly. So
Polly Walnuts?
Polly McDougan.
Polly on the cracker?
I thought he meant
Polly Shore.
Polly from, like, The Fighter.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was kind of like, what the hell's going on here? But it seemed that Ethan Hawke was more of the hardcore character to, you know, be the one that was always kind of pushing to take care of stuff and get his money. Mark Ruffalo was kind of like, crap, I've got a wife and I've got two kids. And he fucked up once and ended up in jail for a long time and everything like that. So he was trying to come back in to have his kids, and then Ethan Hawke... You know how there was that whole thing about that priest that molested kids?
Yeah.
They kind of like brought that into the story, except they didn't kill the guy. They this guy who was a child molester, they beat the living fuck out of.
So and, he kind of so like cut his nuts off like they did in Sons of Anarchy.
No, they just beat the shit out of him, like really to the point of death, almost death. And what it was is the warden had both of them sitting in the office, and they were just about ready to get out because they served their sentence and whatnot, and. He says, okay, guys, you gotta fess up or blah, 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 this will happen. And Ethan Hawke goes and takes the fucking punch for him and so he could get out to see his kids. And then 6 months later, Ethan Hawke was able to get out and kind of started all back up again. But you see from the struggling from Mark Ruffalo was, like, when the guy comes up to talk to him about the gas and everything like that, he looked like he was going to kill the guy. So, but it got to the point where he got the guy back to the truck. He goes, oh, yeah, my wife is over there. Mm-hmm. Smile and wave. He's like, yeah, I was just like, and he goes over and starts shaking his head. He's like, tell him I'll figure out a payment method, blah, blah, blah. I just got out of jail, you fucker. You know, he was just, you know, he was able to provide, like, what it is when you come out of jail and stuff like that. It's yeah. not easy. It's not because you're not making money when you're in prison, really. And even when you get out of prison, you're lucky if you get $50 out of the deal to go, you know, get like a cab ride or something like that to go wherever the hell you're supposed to go. So it showed the struggles, and it was a good movie. And I definitely give it a 4.5 out of 5. But for what you see on IMDb, you get a 6.7.
Which isn't too bad. It's like
it's not too bad.
It's over a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, it's over the 3 out of 5.
We'll see. Like, I'm not a huge fan of Mark Ruffalo. I mean, I want to see this movie. You know, it sounds pretty good.
And they got the Boston accents down pretty good.
Yes.
I truly don't know how I feel about Mark Ruffalo. I mean, I don't like him as an actor.
I heard some good things about him in that recent one, The Kids Are All Right.
Well, I mean, maybe he did a good job.
I think he did a great job in the movie, Shutter Island. He was in Shutter Island. he was also in the Zodiac,
Collateral.
Dude. I love him in Collateral. He's a great agent, but he got kind of shot too.
It's kind of funny. My friend was in Collateral.
Oh, yeah?
All right. Remember the scene where Jamie Foxx is being robbed by the dude with the lisp?
Yeah.
He's from Lynn. He grew up
right around the corner. Oh, yeah. That he was your best buddy there. Yeah.
Now he's dead.
Yeah.
So. Oh, that's right. He also played the boyfriend in Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah.
Brothers
Bloom. He was good in Brothers Bloom. That was another good movie that I just recently watched. That was off On Demand.
I don't know if it was Zodiac that ruined it for me, because I thought he did horrible in that movie.
Well, he was a police officer.
Yeah, but he was horrible. I mean, I'll take a look at the movie, and, you know, Shutter Island, he didn't really jump out at me either.
Right.
Well, but he was basically playing as the partner for...
I know.
Yeah, what's his name there?
I mean... He could have done it better.
All right. Well, anyways, on to the next movie. Is Frozen. one of our local people who have done directing. His name is Adam Green.
Yes.
Where is he officially out of? He's out of Revere, right?
Yeah.
Or was he joking about that because of the,
I think he is from out of Revere.
No,
he
Holliston. Has... Holliston, Massachusetts, it says on IMDb.
But he's close to this area, though.
He is a funny fucking son of a bitch.
He made the jokes about Revere and Lynn and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he made
get fun him by the Jack Chop.
Yeah, if you want to see a funny-ass video, look up Jack Chop on, like, YouTube, and you'll be fucking dying laughing because of how funny
it is. Especially,
he's like, oh, that's tender, you know, because he's just like, shit, that's stuck into me. But yeah, he's a funny bastard, and he went and created this movie called Frozen. It recently came out 2010, and it was kind of, it was all right of a kind of a movie, but I mean, I guess just because, you know, starting out, you can't just be like, you know, shitting gold, basically, whenever you're starting out, but...
Well, this you could,
but I'm not saying like he's gonna just produce like the most amazing movie out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's not like James Cameron or something.
But I mean, the concept that he was selling in this movie was the fact that there's three skiers, and they stupidly like paid one of the ski lift guys money to go up on the ski instead of actually paying for the lift tickets because I don't know, they were broke. So. At the end of the night, there's the one, you know, they're like trying to get one more run in, and the guy that they gave it to, you know, gave the money to, said, okay, yeah, fine, go. So he goes and sends them up, and then he goes, oh, damn it, I gotta go to the bathroom, blah, blah, blah. One of the other ski guys came over, and he told him, yeah, there's three more up on the lift, you know, blah, 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 wait until they come down. So then three fucking guys come down that weren't them. And he goes, okay, I can shut it off. He shuts it off, so they're halfway stuck up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. When, you know, this place is supposed to open tomorrow morning. No, they open again on Friday. So it's because of a storm or something like that that was supposed to come in. And it kind of, and they were like, we're not going to be able to survive 5 days up here. Yeah, so one of them finally decides to go and jump off the fucking thing. Breaks his fucking legs. Compound fractures out the fucking skin. It was just ridiculous. And of course, that poor bastard wasn't able to, like, move or anything like that and get over to a snowboard so he could, like, just, you know, just slide down the hill or something like that.
Yes.
This poor fucker, it's either wolf or coyote, whatever the hell you want to call it. Coyotes, I think, are in the desert. Wolves are around.
Wolves
would be around here, I guess. And wolves come out and start, trying to attack him. Then he was able to scare off that group. And then a bigger group came in, and, oh, man, he got just fucking demolished.
He's like, ooh, that was a girl. Oh, Jesus Christ.
So the whole thing was I was basically explaining to the duck here about this whole fucking situation right over the line. If you saw like the conversation that I was having, I was fucking ripping the logic on this movie, but it was kind of funny because I was like, dude, why don't you just grab the line and blah 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 and then, you know, jimmy yourself over? And the guy, of course, was like kind of weak, so he was grabbing onto that. The wire is cutting into his gloves, which was cutting into his hands, and I was just like, dude, I would have turned myself backwards, done a military fucking cross my legs over and just slide over with the plastic boots.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it was just kind of one of those setups, and he finally got down.
Yep.
And the girl was still standing up staying up there for about a week, but yet the bolt or something like that broke on the seat. And finally she fucking falls down because the seat gives way. And
that's the end.
Yeah, it's basically
this is spoiler,
but I mean, for the... Yeah, it was basically that's all, folks. Kind of, it was.
But that's all, folks.
Yeah, it was one of those things that it was either freeze to death or get eaten to death or try to make it down somewhere and maybe even get hit by a car because of how where she was able to get. But the chair broke her ankle, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow she was still able to stand up in soft snow in certain points, but I don't know. But altogether, I would give this movie like a 4, probably. I give it to Adam Green. He did a good job with this setup. And the funny thing was, yes, there was references to, you know, Massachusetts. The girl said, oh, yeah, I got to, you know, when we get down from here, I just got to get back home and study for my test at Salem State. I was like, huh, that sounds familiar. Wasn't that the college that the duck and I went to? Yeah, that sounds about right. Yes. And then I was kind of sitting there. Then they were just like, oh, yeah, what about Wachusett? That's another hill that we went to, you know, I've gone snowboarding at. Blah, blah. It's just making references. New Hampshire. What the fuck is going on? What is this? And then I find out that it was recorded in Utah. And I was just like, you bastard, Adam. I know you're kind of making references to, like, you know, Massachusetts and what, in New England and whatnot. But what the fuck? Why would you have to record it in Utah? But
more snow all year round.
Yeah,
so.
Basically.
I find it funny how she walks into the soft snow instead of being smart on doing the boot, shoving snow in and then doing it back up.
She like, dude, how the hell is she supposed to know? She's not like the fucking like medical.
She was blonde, but she was cute too.
Yeah.
And of course, there was another like kind of like mystery guest in here, Kane Hodder, actually, the guy who's played Jason, the Hatchet, a couple other. He was
one of the wolves.
He was only he was one of the fucking wolves. No, he was the snow one of the the drivers of the snow tractors or whatever. And they were trying to get his attention. He was like looking around, and every time they threw shit down, it was like the wrong time. And he just drank his mug, and then he's like, "Yeah, everybody's gone. I'm driving off," and blah blah blah. It was really fucked up.
Yeah,
he drives with the guy that's been eaten by the.
I was like, "Come on, Kane, you could get a better fucking thing," but that's just me.
Yeah,
it was starting to pay the bills.
Yeah, he gets paid.
Yeah,
he's a great stuntman too.
So. Yeah, he was the wolf double.
Yeah, he was one of the wolf doubles that kept on getting hit in the face.
All right, the wolf's about to take him. Cut, wolf double. And action!
It's like, right, and the wolf's like, "Whoa, I wouldn't even need a man like that."
Yeah, I gave it. What the hell? This doesn't even have a thing on it?
Negative. The movie sucked that.
No, it did. Okay. I was just about to say, I was like, how the hell did I get in there at one? Alrighty then. Our next movie is called The Secret Agent. No, not Secret Agent Man.
It's a secret
or Secret Agent Man. Yeah, this movie consisted. This was back in 1996. I've never seen it before. It kind of popped up, and I was like, "Hello, why the hell not watch it?" You know, it's kind of interesting. It was about London in the late 19th century, basically about how groups are trying to, you know, get into their way, whether it was, you know, communist, capitalist, anything like along those lines.
Anarchist. And even
anarchist. That's the one, the one that really gets me because of the fact that you've got, all right, you've got Bob Hoskins, Patricia Arquette, Gerard Dupree.
Jim Broadbent. Christian Bale.
Christian Bale, who was, he played a mentally challenged kid. And I mean, it was funny to see him this way and everything like that because of the fact that he was also getting Roger Hammond, Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard.
Yeah, Eddie Izzard was the Russian, like, asshole politician, Vladimir.
He's a funny fucker.
Yeah, he is a funny fucker. But yeah, I mean, this had, like, kind of like an all-star cast written over it. And also, the one that is really escaping this fucking list right here, because they always put stuff down, but one that really was... It's not even showing on here in the first place.
Nope, it's down there.
Oh, wait, nope. Why was he not a... Oh, man. Unaccredited, but he was right there out in the open. Robin Williams, basically. He was one of the main anarchists that were designing bombs. So...
I don't know if I could really picture him doing
He was
that.
Fucking creepy, dude. He's done fucking good movies with that.
One Hour Photo. World's Greatest Dad.
Yeah.
See, there's two movies growing up that I remember with, you know, Robin Williams that makes it hard for me to picture him like this.
Jack.
Yeah.
And Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were going to say Hook.
Hook, yeah.
Yeah, but
there was not
also
so much because there's a fighting and stuff.
And then Patch Adams.
Yeah, Patch Adams was like, you know, another like...
Aladdin.
He wasn't really in that. He was just a fucking cartoon. Mm-hmm. But for the most part...
Mrs. Doubtfire.
God damn it! Shut up!
Hey. I had you. I wasn't letting you fall.
Anyways, the whole thing with this movie was the fact that Bob Hoskins is he's the agent he's in between a lot of the
stuff. And I know he's been in a lot of stuff. He's been in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. He's been in Enemy at the Gates. He was the tour manager in Pink Floyd The Wall. But he's still very underappreciated.
I think he's just probably one of the most unappreciated. He was in Roger Rabbit.
Yes.
I mean, fuck.
Mrs. Henderson Presents. He was fucking hilarious in that.
No, okay.
Vanity Fair.
Yeah, I would say Varsity Blues because I was looking wrong at like three different things. And he's also Danny DeVito's stunt double.
Basically.
Nah.
Come on, look at him. He looks
he does look exactly like him.
It's kind of creepy.
Oh yeah, he was also in Hook. He was Smee.
He was Mario.
Yeah,
Super Mario Brothers. I know it's a shitty movie, but I still love it to death.
There's something about that movie when we were kids. We were too young to see it, and it just brought us into our video game.
Yeah, what's your name, Luigi? Let me guess, Luigi. No, Luigi Mario. Good old John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
Leave it to a Spanish guy to play someone Italian.
Yeah.
Oh, Johnny Legs.
Yeah, but for the most part, I mean, Bob Hoskins is just a great actor. You know, he does a great job and everything like that. No. Don't you dare pause it. I'll kill you. And with the whole setup that, you know, he does in this movie was the fact that he was actually working to go with the anarchist, but yet he was still kind of working with the Russian Eddie Izzard.
Yes.
Politician, but yet then he was another agent underneath, you know, fucking, what is it, Jim Broadbent? That creepy fucker? Is that who I think it is? Yeah, that creepy guy.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
He's been in so much stuff, and he's usually like the creepy happy guy and stuff like that. But yeah, he played the chief inspector in this one, and, of course, if you listen to his name, it's Chief Inspector Heat.
Yes.
It's kind of funny. But, yeah, with the whole setup that they were dealing with, the whole anarchist thing, he goes, the Bob Hoskins character, you know, gets a bottle off of Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And, you know, he gives the bomb to Christian Bale's mentally challenged kid and tells him to walk off with it. So when the bomb explodes, killing Christian Bale's character. They're trying to figure out, you know, and try to trace it back and all this other stuff because he wanted to see if the bomb was actually going to work. I don't know why he would kill, Christian Bale, but maybe it was just easier that way. So, with that said...
Merry Christmas!
Yay! Yeah!
Yeah, I'm doing a show on my phone!
Oh, it didn't work!
Boom! We're all dead.
Yet he still comes in at the end naked with a chainsaw covered in blood.
Yep, basically from American Psycho. But yeah, with the whole setup that was going on with this movie, it showed what the anarchists had to go through and, you know, deal with at that time. And you're like, yeah, I wonder why they're anarchists. Yeah, that was why they were anarchists. They had to deal with that, like, all the political things coming and clashing together and one trying to win out above the other. Then along with that, you know, setup, they had, Robin Williams, basically, he had his own setup the whole time. He had, like, one of those old, like, picture camera, things that you'd press to take the pictures as they do in the old days. He had that hooked up to a bomb that was strapped over his heart, so he knew that when the bomb goes off, he was gonna die.
Yeah.
And finally, at the end, it basically is him walking through a crowd, and he finally just grabs his pocket and just pulls the thing, but it doesn't show it go off. I was kind of disappointed at that part because it's one of those dramatic effects of they black out at the most serious moments.
Like what they did with the unthinkable.
Yeah, but the thing with him, the delay about it is it takes 10 seconds because of the fact that he was like, yeah, I can't create a trigger that's instantaneous. Like once I pull it, it blows. He says, click, and it will take about 10 seconds to explode.
And then he sits there, he's like, wait, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, crap. Oh, forget it.
But yeah, he was a very good, you know, he was able to portray his character and put it out there and make him the creepy guy that, yeah, you do not mess with because he has the brains to, you know, blow you up, basically. So
yes.
I say this movie in a dramatic and how they, you know, were able to portray it with Bob Hoskins and stuff like that, I say easily... 4.8 because of how they did this movie. But yeah, right now IMDb's like rocking at a 5.8, but fuck them.
It's almost 3 stars.
Yeah, so I just feel that this is one of those good dramatic type movies that, you know, if you're just going to sit back and relax and kind of like figure out how it was back then, this is probably one of those ones to watch. But yep, that's probably pretty much for movies right now.
Yeah, I think so.
Sports!
Okay, sports time.
Hey, sports.
Welcome to sports, ladies and gentlemen. You are here with Anvil the Grim Reaper.
Sports.
I am doing sports. Shut up.
Sports.
You shut up too.
All right, show us that goddamn car.
Oh, the car is hilarious.
Yes, the car. Odd tribute to Palomalu. That's how you pronounce it, right?
Yeah.
Palomalu.
It looks like a 1970s album cover. After someone took a lot of acid and decided to paint.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's on a Mercedes, too, of course, of all cars.
Yep. There you go.
It's jamming anyone?
Look, it's a Janis Joplin album cover. Only instead of Janis Joplin, it's Palomalu.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this. Just looks like...
You're just jealous because you don't have it.
No.
You wish you had that.
Looks hair. Like a maze. Like one of those little mazes that you would do.
Yeah,
like
would do with this. Yeah.
I gotta get to the cheese.
On that. And then if he ever cuts his hair, they're gonna be like, ah, shit.
You know that's going to happen.
No, it's not gonna happen. He's gonna grow that thing until, like, he's cousin it from it's fucking culture. Adam's family.
He's American Samoan. Culture.
Oh.
And actually, they made that joke the other day.
Then why isn't Dwayne Johnson
that? I just came up with it.
He's Hawaiian, not Samoan.
No, he is Samoan. I thought he was half Samoan.
Half? He was born in Hawaii.
That doesn't make you Samoan if you're born in Hawaii.
It's part Asian.
Yeah.
And actually, they made that joke yesterday on NFL Network when Palomalu came over the line against the Titans. As soon as it was snapped, he jumped over and made the tackle. And they're like, it looks like Cousin It went and tackled him.
Yeah.
So all you saw was hair.
Yeah, for the most part, I'm kind of like thinking that there might get to the point where you can't have this long mane of hair. You know, the NFL will have to be like, oh yeah, you have to have it at a certain length now, but I don't know how far they would get with that.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that guy from fucking whatever that orange team is, the Tigers? No, not the Bengals. Bengals, yeah, Bengal Tigers. The Bengals, yeah, there's that guy with the... Is he Irish or something like that? He's got just the red mane, yep. Like down his back. It's ridiculous. He's awesome. I say ridiculous. He says awesome. Makes so much sense.
So let's make our predictions at this point. It is Saturday, one day till the Super Bowl.
And I know this doesn't come out until Tuesday, so hopefully we're right about this.
Who are you guys taking?
I think I'm going to go with Green Bay, considering with the injuries that have, you know, been played. Happening within the Steelers.
Okay. Mr. Blue?
Oh, I hate the fucking Green Bay Packers. I hate them. Although, it would have been great to have seen the Patriots have gone and, you know, go against them and this, like, kind of, like, rivalry, like, the payback kind of thing.
Yes.
But that didn't happen. We weren't that lucky. But, yeah, with me, I'm going to probably take the Steelers on this one. I'm hoping that, you know, they're able to pull it out and, you know, just have a good game. It's kind of funny because you kind of got both teams with yellow. And they're gonna be trying to, you know, interrupt one another, but it's kind of hard to because you're both wearing fucking yellow.
Well,
yes.
There's a funny thing. The Steelers have taken a rap song. Oh, well, actually, before this, I picked the Packers.
Okay. And I also predicted the halftime show with the Black Eyed Peas is going to suck.
Actually, it's supposed to be good.
Yeah, because they're all mainlining acid.
They all have other performers jumping on with them.
Like who?
I forget the name.
All right.
They said it on the radio this morning. But there's a song that actually goes black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. So the Steelers have adopted it, and they plan on having it played. So, of course, you know, Steelers, Packers fans are like, green and yellow, green and yellow, green. So it's kind of funny. But, yeah.
God damn, she's got some ribs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, Boston Celtics cheerleader. She's got some great ribs. I want Texas Roadhouse.
Me too.
I still have our
movies.
It's always as a surprise guest. But they announced it this morning, and I forget who it was. Usher.
Great.
Yeah, and then somebody else. No, go back.
Oh, God. No, if go it's back. Usher, you know what that means. Go back. You know.
I'm surprised Rihanna's not going to be in there, too.
And Slash.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Usher and Slash are joining them.
No. Because you know what's going to happen. Do you know who it was that Usher discovered, right?
No,
I'm not saying it. That damn haircut. No. That little teenage bastard.
Go back Peter? To Canada. Did you say it?
Yes, he did.
You go back to Russia.
I don't want to go back to Russia. Stop it. You're hurting me. I got to work tonight.
He goes back and he's hurting the rabbit. Everybody kicked the shit out of me. I did that as a cage fighter. He was only lightly hitting me, but he bruised the muscle straight through the bone.
It hands me out of titanium.
Anamantium. Get it right.
Anamantium.
That's what Wolverine was, you know.
Yeah. But right. Yeah, for the most part, it was kind of... Yeah, it's not gonna be that good. It's one of those things. It's gonna be like great. Click. I'm just wondering about these commercials though. I love the commercials.
Oh, I love the commercials.
And you know what sucks? I gotta work tomorrow from 3 to 11. I can't fucking enjoy the goddamn Super Bowl.
Commercials. Bring it in.
No.
Let's all off.
Fucking DVR.
Yes.
Just fast forward. They came and watched the fucking commercials.
Hey, look, Black Eyed Peas. Fast forward. And muted. Yes.
But like commercial. Stop.
Bring back the Budweiser frogs. No, I'm just kidding.
I would kill for the frogs.
And the goddamn penguin from Bud Light.
Oh,
doobie doo.
Cola still has the bears. Come on.
Yeah, they've had the goddamn bear. Oh man, if there's gonna be another stupid fucking bear thing, just fuck you over the screen.
Do what they should do? They should have a dual Coca-Cola Budweiser commercial.
Yeah, right.
Bud, why? Coke.
Just have one of the bears come over and just eat the fucking frog.
I want to say something. And I believe this would make a great beer commercial if they had converted this into a beer commercial instead of this. This would make a much better beer commercial.
Did you bring a loaf of Clausen's bread?
No.
Why don't you drop down to the grocery store for some?
Oh, man.
That'd be great if they did it too. Do you got any Bud Light? No. Or we can drop down to the liquor store and get some.
Okay, so some football news though. Let's continue with this.
Yep.
Marquise Pouncey, the starting center, Please stop.
Yes.
For the Steelers, we'll be out. So Doug Legursky will be making his first start.
Yay!
That's never a good thing.
Yay!
Especially if you're like somebody over here that would like the Steelers to win.
I don't give a shit.
Because he came in the last game and he fumbled in the end zone, causing us safety.
Hey, that's a vibration in your balls!
We're talking about good vibrations. Okay. Now, Robert Kraft and Roger Goodell both talked about this collective bargain agreement, which ends on March 3rd.
Yep.
And they both believe that we can actually have it done so we don't have a football lockout.
Yay!
And Goodell, who did set the deadline for the 3rd, did say if they are very close to one, he will extend the date.
Okay.
So, fingers crossed.
And hopefully that means we won't have to be stuck with NFL Europe.
I mean, that
or UFL. Exist
anymore, man.
Exactly.
Hey, this is a UFL.
That's true.
But will you watch CFL?
Yeah, but that would mean if the NFL does go down, the UFL will fucking like gain some serious like motion.
Right.
And
yeah.
Fuck everything up.
Then I have another football game to watch tomorrow. Another championship football game. So I'm looking forward to that, too.
Which one?
The LFL.
Oh, the lingerie football.
Yes, right. Let's go Philly, baby. Ah! I've been watching all season very proudly.
Wait, how's that even possible?
It's on TV.
Lingerie football?
Yes.
Woohoo! Where?
One of the ESPN channels. ESPN 3 or something.
No way, dude.
ESPN on the Ocho. No, I'm just kidding. I wish they had
it. I think it's ESPN. I found it.
That would be somebody, fucking I was reading hilarious. Their website.
I'm actually a friend of theirs on Facebook. And they sent, you know, told me where to go.
What's this? Lingerie Football League franchise.
Giggity, 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 giggity.
True fantasy football.
There we go.
Well, I'll be damned. Damn. Oh, it's on pay-per-view, dude.
And? I'll pay to watch that. They're playing bras and
what is it, 50
booty
bucks?
Shorts. But, you both are watching the same, look at the same page.
Damn.
Oh, MTV2 has it.
That's the MTV2. I don't know why I watched on something.
Teehee.
Okay. So, let's continue along.
She got a great rack. I mean, yeah, go ahead. Damn, she's already wearing hockey hat. What
yeah,
the hell?
Yeah, dude.
Well, at least they got some more padding on.
Yeah.
Ah! Sorry.
Okay. So, the Celtics lost the season series last night to the Dallas Maverick. They lost by 4 this time. Last time was only 2. But that's not the main concern. It's okay. You know, we'll make it. It's Mr. Ray Allen, who hit a few more threes last night.
Yes.
Now his career amount is 2,555 three-pointers. The legend himself, the all-time leader, Reggie Miller, is 2,560, which means 6 away from breaking that record.
Do you think he's going to be able to do it this season?
And at a Boston Celtics game.
You're kidding, right? You know how many more games are?
Good point.
We haven't had the All-Star break yet.
No. But there can always be that asshole, like, you know, person that is the manager, like, of Ray Allen and just say, dude, just drag this out. You're going to be so much popular. Just drag it out. And then he gets down to the end of the season. He can't fucking finish it.
Yeah, and he, like, doesn't even remember how to do it.
You just threw it to the
jump arm! Fuck! Yeah, this is just one of those things that, you know, it's another great thing because it would be held by a Boston Celtic. Boston.
Yes.
I mean, no.
And then we can have a new statue right next to Bobby Orr.
Yeah. Ooh. Him going like this.
I don't know. I don't know if you could put one next to Bobby Orr like that.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
I don't know.
All right, fine. On the other side of the stadium.
Okay. Now, my question, and this is a question that is brought up. If he breaks this record, is he guaranteed the Hall?
No. Wait, did Reggie get into the Hall?
Reggie's in the Hall.
Yes.
Well, if he breaks it, yeah, then he should be basically guaranteed to get into the fucking thing because that would be the like a shitload of points that he has contributed to the actual team in order to get them to keep going.
Just as long as
an individual, that's
just as long
impressive.
As he doesn't pull a fucking Pete Rose.
Oh, dude,
there is no such thing as a Pete Rose anymore. Really, you can't really do it. You can't.
It's so hard to do. And truthfully, Pete Rose only been as a coach. It still haunts that man.
Yeah.
But we'll move on, and we have our beautiful Bruins, who are on a nice win streak. Rask got a nice win the other night.
Yay, Rask!
He almost blew it, but we still won. We saw three fights in the first 5 seconds of the game. Puck drop fight. Second later, fight. 3 seconds later, fight.
Does that count?
And then me and Blue looked at each other and we decided to fight.
Ah!
But
son of a bitch.
We have two things in hockey that I do want to talk about this week. Well, three, but two of them are, you know, kind of funny.
And one's just really sad. Take the bad news first. Bad news first.
All right.
I went bad news.
Daniel Paillet from the Bruins has been suspended 4 games for a hit on another player with the Stars. Shoulder to head. I think it's bullshit because, you know, Matt Cook dropped Savard and he got nothing.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's just plainly stupid. It was a bad hit. He shouldn't have done it. But 4 games, really? Now, we had a game between...
Good news. Good news. Good news.
Detroit the other night. Yeah. Not the Bruins, but Detroit played. And their player Franzen scored 5 goals.
Yeah.
5 goals.
Yes.
By himself.
By himself. 2 of them were in 42 seconds. The last person to score 5 in a game was back in 07, which was Marian Gabrick. The record is actually 7, set back in 1929.
By who? By who? By who?
I don't know.
Who?
I don't remember.
God damn it.
He's long dead. Leave me alone.
Okay.
And
whoever he was, he must have had a giant mustache if it was in the 1920s.
Yeah.
And then...
Because that was their face-protecting gear.
I found it hilarious. The other night, there was a big fight between the Penguins and the Islanders at the very end of the game. Johnson, the goalie for Pittsburgh, starts skating out after DiPietro, which is the goalie of the Islanders. They drop their stuff. One punch, Johnson drops DiPietro. I see this morning... DiPietro goes on the injured reserve for 4 to 6 weeks with a swollen knee and a facial laceration.
So,
how
Johnson
can he get a swollen knee? He's got a fucking like pad on his leg that's about 2 inches thick.
So Johnson took down DiPietro.
Really, dude? Did you just really have to make that gay? Did you just make hockey gay?
Whoa!
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 Go to the corner. Go to the corner.
Whoa! That was just too many sexual innuendos.
That was horrible.
Oh.
Go to the corner. You're grounded. Oh. I'm putting you on punishment.
Yeah, we have to throw you for a little while.
Fine.
Anyways. But yeah, that's a... Yeah. Yikes. Anyways. But yeah, with the hockey going on, that's awesome. The
we're up by 4 points against Montreal.
Yeah.
And... You know, we've only got like another month of hockey left before playoffs. So if we keep this up, we'll be the, you know, number 2 or 3 seed in the league or in our conference.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to hold well in the playoffs. Thomas is playing well. Rask is finally coming into his own and they're scoring behind him. So I think this might be our year.
By the way, I like how Aspen Dental is a main sponsor of the NHL.
Yeah.
Aspen Dental, thanks for all your money.
Yeah.
Lord.
Thanks for the tooth fairy. Anyways.
Now we got Anderson Silva fighting tonight.
Yeah, he's defending his title tonight against Victor Belfort. Belfort is a former champ. He's a good fighter. But I think Silva can continue his undefeated streak in the UFC. A lot of people don't realize that in the UFC he is undefeated.
Yep. I know his main record is 27-4. But that's
MMA all the way around.
Right,
UFC's,
right.
He's all
since
the
he came
up.
UFC, he's undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can do the same tonight.
God damn. We got Rich Franklin versus Forrest Griffin.
I'm taking Griffin.
Let's see. Nothing really else that's really sticking out at me.
Actually, there's one more that sticks out to me, which is John Bones Jones versus Ryan Bader. That's going to be a good fight. I'm going to take John Jones. He's an up-and-comer in the lightweight division, and I expect to see him with a title soon.
John Bones Jones. That sounds like a really bad horn.
Actually, it sounds more like a jazz name.
Yeah, it does.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the drums, John Bones Jones.
Or a fucked up name of James Earl Jones.
All right.
Welcome to Verizon, bitch.
Yep.
We should tell that chick to take her towel off.
Yeah.
Stop looking at the lingerie.
I'm sorry, I can't help it. It's just fantastic.
Hey, we're looking at sports here. Leave us alone. It's an official sport.
It is an official.
Official sport. Yes. Just like Foxy Boxing and Celebrity Mud Wrestling.
There's nothing wrong with that. So,
anyways, what the hell?
I'm done with sports. You can move on to your video games. See ya.
Video games?
All right. This is kind of segueing into sports, because one of the demos that came out was the EA Sports...
Fight Night Champion.
Fight Night Champion.
Champion.
What were your thoughts on this one?
Fuck. That's what I said.
Why? You didn't play it, did you?
No, I didn't get to play this one. Because of my I don't know. I've been too busy with goddamn work.
Okay, so in the demo, you get to play as one of two people. Mike Tyson or Muhammad Ali?
Ali.
And what's good about this is when they're at their prime. It's not Mike Tyson when he's in his 30s. It's not...
Question, in the demo, can you step back and let the computers fight it?
Yes!
Yes!
And I did do the test, and Ali won 3 out of 3 times.
Damn. That's pretty freaking crazy.
But you know what they say. He flips like a butterfly, stings like the bee.
Yay! Yep.
So you're basically able to play these characters when they were at their prime.
Well, I got one question. After, Ali beats Tyson, right? Does he stand there in the middle of the ring and say, I am the greatest, Muhammad Ali?
He doesn't say that, but the ring announcer does.
Aww.
But, okay, I've always had issue with the control styles
of EA.
In EA, especially with the fighting games.
Yeah, I have to.
Even with the MMA one.
Yeah.
Like, how do you punch properly? How do you know you're connecting?
Let me guess. Click with your, flick the joystick, right?
Yes.
God damn it, I hate that.
I hate those. I would rather go to the simplistic button mashing controls. I don't care if you have to push two buttons at the same time. I don't care if you have to push three at the same time. Hell, I learned how to push four at the same time thanks to practicing with Try Not to Fart.
And toes.
Yes, and toes. I feel like punching with the joystick just does not work.
Yeah, it's just you can't feel anything with it. The only thing I would have to say is was this the Xbox version?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't play it on the PS3, because it came out on that as well.
But with the PS3, I'm wondering if they were able to add the whole effect with those stupid motion controllers that they've got. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
If they were able, maybe they might have some kind of leading edge on that next to the Punch-Out on the Wii and stuff like that, but... Which is also good news. They're going to be good. Do a new game. Yay!
What?
Another Punch-Out game.
Oh, that's right. But I don't like the controls. I love the graphics, though.
They seem pretty realistic.
Very realistic. Yeah. Down to the tiniest sweat drop. Like, you see it in slow motion, the punch. You just see the sweat coming off of them. And you see the bones just go... Blah. Crunching and munching.
Just the way that Mike Tyson's face is messed up today.
Yes.
Blue, please... I'm going to ask you one giant favor right now.
No.
Never let him call one of my fights.
Yeah, I know.
Listen to the crunching and munching. And
I may never fight again.
Train wreck.
I'm going to have to retire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what else is going on with this?
And I the gameplay is good despite the controls. Very exciting. Very edge of your seat. But like I said, it's so hard to see... If you're actually connecting with the punches.
No, great.
You hear the thumps, but you don't know if he's blocking you or not.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to get the other guy's stamina down, because you'd be punching like 3 times and your stamina's already like almost at 0.
Well, that's the whole thing that's about boxing that you have to understand is the fact you have to back off and let the other guy punch, because Muhammad Ali's idea of boxing is let the other guy wear himself out. You take all the hits... And then you dish out whatever you have left because of the fact that guy's done.
We all see where that got him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not saying, hey, put your head out there a couple more times. Let's go ahead. Let's do the Rocky thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Boom.
Actually, I ain't gonna lie. I'll cry like a little girl the day he dies.
Yeah. And while the game does pack a good punch, it seems like there are too many flaws in it to make it a great game.
Yeah.
But having said that, I think I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Well, that's not a bad deal.
Graphics are good, gameplay is good, just the controls are very shitty. Yes, they suck. The next demo I got to try out on the Xbox was Breach. And it's an online first-person shooter, very similar to Call of Duty. But it's not, like, as bad as that one I tried on PlayStation 3 the other day.
Which one was that?
I don't remember. It was, like, Modern Combat or something.
Stupid piece of crap game.
I don't remember the name, and I don't want to remember the name. It was just really bad.
This looks like a new version of the old version of Counter-Strike.
It kind of does. It has a very similar similar aspects to it. The graphics are pretty good, as you will see in a moment. They aren't great. They aren't, like, up to par with, say, like, Monday Night Combat.
Yeah. But yeah, that definitely looks like Counter-Strike. It's just that they've updated it. They've just basically took all the setups and, yeah, I feel like I'm back in Counter-Strike.
Yeah, so
it's now I want to play Counter-Strike. Damn it!
Well, get Breached then.
Now I'm going to have to try this demo out now.
Yep, and it's as easy as playing Black Ops.
Actually, this has a little bit more destructive capabilities to it. It's got a setup that looks like you're able to kind of do what you do in Battlefield.
Bad Company.
So, yeah, that actually is what I've been kind of looking forward to with the Call of Duty series, is the fact that they are taking what the Battlefield has done and doing the setup where you can blast a hole through the wall and walk through a building and then blast the rest of it and knock it all down. I want that capability with the Call of Duty setting, not this whole, boom, okay, yeah, that wall didn't just explode because I didn't just plant a C4 charge on the sucker.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that it leaves like a black mark, and it kind of BS.
Ugh. Yeah, so there's a little bit more realism to it. The controls are as easy to control as it is in Black Ops. My main concern with the game is that there isn't a single-player mode, so there's no real way to train yourself. They literally
just toss you into the multiplayer and you're done?
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a turnoff for me, in my opinion, because there are people, like myself, that have a hard time playing online with other players because there are just so many people.
But that doesn't mean exactly that in the actual gameplay that, wow, this is even actually moving around like Sam Fisher in, what do you call it there?
Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell, yeah, because he's able to switch back and forth through the doors, and you kind of could do a third-person shooter setup. It doesn't look too bad. I really do have to play this now because it seems kind of interesting.
I feel like this is a good alternative for people who don't have Black Ops at the moment.
Yeah, is this going to be one of the ones that you buy off the actual the Xbox Live Market system? Oh, okay, yes. All right.
So I believe it's 1,200 points.
I'd have to try it first before I'd be like, yeah, right. I'll put down 1,200 points because I'm not broke right now.
Right, you'd have to do what you did with Modern Monday Night Combat, try it out first before.
Yeah.
But I give it a 3.7 out of 5.
All right. That's pretty fair. I'll probably have to give a recall of it next week.
Sure. Now, the next demo I got to try out was called A World of Keflings. And it's a sequel to, I believe it was A Village of for Keflings. And it's a Sim City-like game where you build villages and help the townsfolk within it.
Bah.
Baba. And what's cool, too, is it links up to two other games, Rascals, which I reviewed previously, and Isle of Milo, which I also reviewed. And you can find hidden villages featuring the characters from these two games.
Okay.
It sounds boring.
And you can also find something related to Comic Jumper as well.
What the fuck? What is that?
That's a Keflling.
That's a Keflling?
Yep.
Then what the hell's that?
That's your avatar that builds it.
What the hell?
They build them. They build the houses and villages.
This is scaring the children in my head.
This is scaring demons in my brain.
As you can see, it's very cartoonish.
Really?
No, I couldn't tell that. No. They're not cartoonish. That's realistic.
That looks like a girl I work with.
And there's not much gameplay. You really just build towns and such. Although there are some little funny hand things you can do. Like you can pick up a Keflling and you can kick him across the town.
I do that all day long.
It's like, I'm pissed off. Keflling. Dropkick. Oh!
No, with me, I would be like, Keflling, you remind me of Chaka. I name you Chaka. You little asshole.
Boom.
Woohoo! Field goal, bitch!
I'm gonna call you Yoko Ono.
You ruined the Beatles! Uh-huh. Oh! But yeah, this is kind of scaring me.
Yeah, I have nightmares now, thanks.
It's an okay game. Like, it was an okay trial from what I saw. It's a regular highlight and, you know, put it here to here. It would have been a lot easier if it was like a mouse that you could use instead of just the
yeah, this controls. Is one of those real-time strategy type setups, kind of like the above view that you're trying to set them up to. You
know, right.
But the company Ninja Bee. Why the hell would you have a Ninja Bee?
Well,
but all in all, it's a good game to play while you relax, but it's not for those that right, were not...
I need to blow something up!
Right. If you like the Sim games, if you like SimCity and SimCopter and, like, just the SimCity as a whole, you might enjoy it. I'll give it a 3.4 out of 5.
Okay.
Okay.
I give it crap on a stick.
All right. Next demo I got to try out was Bionic Commando Rearmed 2. Sequel to the 2008 remake of the classic NES game.
Bionic fucking what?
Bionic Commando Rearmed 2. And it's a side-scroller similar in the vein of Comic Jumper. And they're Bionic Warriors set out to save lost soldiers and defuse D-Day bombs.
Yardos.
I do, and this is a game that has... The graphics look pretty good. It's got a new school look with like an old school flavor to it. Controls are pretty good. Very simple. They reminded me of the old school NES controls. Just like two or three buttons and more Sega Genesis wise.
Okay.
To, you know, shoot and kill and drop bombs. You can
aim.
You can sneak behind people and just take them out that way. And it was, I liked this demo.
Prepare to puke in 5, 4, 3.
Soundtrack was
great. Oh god, it's from Capcom.
Hey, Capcom's been
good. Capcom!
Capcom has been good.
Oh, jeez.
No.
This was the old school NES one.
Okay, that's the old school NES one. Why is it taking so long to buffer?
I don't know.
This website sucks already.
I want to shoot
the game's awesome, but their freaking website sucks.
Just go look it up on YouTube or something.
No. I don't want to. That takes too much time.
You're making us do extra work.
Yes, I know. I'm making you do extra work. Whoop-de-doo.
I got work tonight. I don't want to do extra work.
But all the good game, good side-scroller shooter, a lot of fun. The demo ends just before the boss battle, which was kind of, I wanted to try that out just to see how hard it was, but it didn't happen.
Oh, no, not that. Anything but that.
What? Anything but what?
This.
Oh, Mario Sports Mix? I wish we had better demos like so they could try out games like this. But no, you just have the WiiWare ones. Which I'll touch on in just a little moment.
Gotta love your friends at, you know what?
Machinima?
Yeah. Alright, let's see how shitty this is. Keep going.
But anyway, I had a lot of fun with this. It brought me back to the old school days of the side-scroller shoot-em-ups. I'll give it a 4.5 out of 5 for this. Yet you can blow shit up like that.
It doesn't look like
that. Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
Well, this is back in E3, so they, like,
Revamped it?
Revamped it a little bit more than what you see here.
That and acid.
Alright, so... Okay, we're actually short out of time.
Oh, crap. No, we're not. We're doing good.
Okay. Trinity Souls of Zil Olil. It's a fight-based RPG. Graphics are great, and it looks really good considering it was a Koei Games, and they don't really have that much of a good track record in regards to graphically good games.
Track record?
Yeah.
Graphically good games?
Yeah. It's easy to power up, it's very easy to switch the characters, and it's one of those games where you can, like, so you have to switch off to do specific things around each level. Like, okay... I'm the skinny guy. I can do this and that. Okay, there's a big giant rock. I'll get the big guy to, like, pick it up. Oh, there's a bad guy. Speaking of which, I can just squash the little bad guys with the giant rock.
Yeah, okay. All right, so what's that one?
The gameplay does kind of start off slow because you got to, like...
Figure out everything.
You figure out how to buy weapons, armor, potions. You got to talk to the bar patrons with tips and tricks. And then the quest mode, you got good hack and slash maneuvers. You got... good character switchings to...
Wait, you're going to take care of the bar patrons with tips and tricks? Really? Do you know how bad that sounds?
They give you tips and tricks on how to defeat them.
You mean hope?
That's what I'm thinking. You know,
yes.
It's like, whoa, he's going to turn tricks and everything?
But I feel like this could be a really good RPG in the long run. And I think that if it doesn't, like, repeat itself over and over again because he only gave you one level, it could be a good game. So, for a demo, I give it a 4 out of 5.
Alrighty, then.
Okay.
Alright, let's cut it now.
You want to cut it now?
Yeah, let's cut it now.
Alright, we'll save the Wii Weird demos for next week.
Yeah. Maybe.
Alright, so... okay, remember, visit our website at BostonMassMedia.com for recent news, reviews, podcasts, episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. And if you want to write to us with questions, comments, and ideas for the shows, you can write to us at TheBastards@BostonMassMedia.com. And you can also find us on Twitter at King_Baby_Duck and Anvil63. Even though he hasn't looked it up in over a year.
Hey, I wrote something there before.
You keep saying it. The fucking pepperoni pizza thing. Hey,
Panda wrote that she wanted pepperoni pizza and made me want pepperoni pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Now yeah, I want pepperoni pizza again. Thanks, Doc.
We're on myspace.com/BostonBassBrigade.
Have you checked that lately?
Yeah, I have, and it's, you know, it's doing all right. We've gotten a couple more people, I guess.
That's good.
One of them is Jesus.
Yeah. Then we're also on Facebook. All you have to do is type us in on the search bar at the top and find us and add us. And then you can ask us questions all you want.
Yes.
Yeah.
And don't forget to check out our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI. While you're there, check out our friends at Geek Aggro. And go check out our friends at Gamer Reaction at GamerReaction.TV.
All right. Anything else you want to add?
No. No.
I'm the Grim Reaper. Kill the stealers. Die, stealers, die.
Yeah, I gotta try Breach.
Yeah, PAX East is coming up pretty soon. I'm gonna be there with, you know, Pandalicious and Ninja Sister. Bluonic doesn't think he's gonna be making it because of fucking job.
I can't make it because of fucking job.
Yeah, douchebags.
I'm a whore.
Me too.
We know.
It's like, I'm a whore for money, but yet I'm not getting paid enough for what I'm supposed to be doing. It's just, it's hard.
Dude, we never get paid enough for doing the kind of work that we do.
I agree.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's just, it's the way, the logic. It's the logic of the way. I'll explain it later.
Yes.
I can explain it next time. We just gotta end this episode.
Okay, so, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
This is Bluonic.
This is the Grim Reaper. Same
sign out of bitches.
We are the bastards. Die, Steeler, die.
And Victor Buffalo.